May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've made a commitment to, as much as I can, during these 50 days of Easter celebration, to talk about resurrection. And there's so much to talk about. My mind is going in like so many different directions that coming in today, there's like several different things I wasn't sure I wanted to say. And for poor CTK, or some of these things you'll just hear over and over again as I understand them better and better. But read a few verses to you. Because I think the thing, again, that we need to understand is that the cross resurrection, cross-resurrection is one event. It's a continuous event. It's all connected. You can't have the resurrection without the cross, and without resurrection, the cross is meaningless. It's all connected. It has a point. And the purpose is all new creation. New creation of humanity, and new creation there'll be that has been planted in, has been seeded into the earth, that will be manifested one day in a new heavens, a new earth. We're in this process of new creation. As I said yesterday, that Jesus was the beginning, the first, and then came after him. He was the first fruits, then us, of the colonization of a whole new creation, redemption of mankind and the whole world that is to spread until the kingdom of this world become the kingdom of our God and his Christ. But on a personal level, and there's so you can go at so many different directions, but let me just read a few verses and then say something really simple. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe, that in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him in the heavenly places at his right hand, that we would know the riches of his glory and that we would know the power of his resurrection working in us. Ephesians chapter 5, it says about the church, that he might present to himself a church in all of her glory. Colossians chapter 3 says, for you have died, and your life, that's resurrection, is now hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, is manifested, you're manifested with him in glory. And so you and I walking in the manifest glory of God has everything to do with Christ who lives in you as the hope of glory and the power of resurrection that indwelling risen Christ brings about in us. We're the first fruits of new creation. We're the first manifestation of all things being made new. And we're to colonize the whole earth with new creation reality. The verse that I read yesterday that just fascinates me, and fascinates me even more today, I'm sure it will the rest of my life, is Romans chapter 8. Again, verse 18. For I consider the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory, there's that word again, to be revealed in us. It's not just talking about heaven one day. It's a process that already began. See, here's the thing. If you, let's say you were building your dream house, and so you are watching builders build it, and you're living in a rented facility, sort of a temporary thing. It's not really what you want, but you have this dream house and it's being built. And you're watching it being built, you're waiting for it to be completed, and at some point, the builders come to you and say, it's finished. And that word, it's finished, means it's completed. It's fulfilled. Now, the word "it finished" actually means to you a beginning. And when Christ said "it's finished," what he did was announce a beginning of new creation, of reversing the curse, of pushing back the fungus of the fall, its effect on all humanity and all creation. That's what he was saying. It's finished. Now it can begin. Resurrection says we've created, now new creation's moved in. Now that it's finished, it's taking care of any barriers. And in this scripture, the glory that's being revealed in us is the beginning. It'll be consummated one day when we get a glorified body. But then I love these scriptures. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the manifesting of the sons of God. The whole world is waiting on you and I to show up, carrying and releasing the glory of Christ. That all happens because of resurrection. For the creation was subject to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope. This is the thing I want you to see. That the creation itself will also be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom and the glory of the children of God. I like the way the King James says it, and the NIV says it, and the Amplified says it different. That the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Because of the resurrection, because you and I have been included in the resurrection, because the same power that caused him to be raised from the dead is now operating in us, because Christ, who has my life, is revealed, as he's revealed, I'm revealed with him in glory, our experience on this earth should be one of glorious freedom. New creation brings freedom. Freedom from the effects of the fall. See, again, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 15:17, he said, if the resurrection is not true, then your faith is worthless and we're still lost in our sins. That's not just talking about forgiveness. We're still lost in the dominance and the curse of sin in our life. Sin's still winning everywhere we go. The effects of the fall. But you and I should be people of glorious freedom, and all of creation, human beings haven't yet been affected, all of creation is waiting for us to show up because they want to enter into the glorious freedom that you and I manifest. And we're to colonize the whole world with that glorious freedom. Where we see the impact of the enemy in the lives of others, we're to bring them into glorious freedom. It's out of bondage. And in the end, the whole earth is going to be brought out of bondage into the glorious freedom. It's all going to get summed up in Christ in the end. But I just love the way it says that. It doesn't describe the children of God as gloomy, despairing people. Why in the world would the world anxiously and eagerly await to be affected by a lot of the Christians that I know? The despairing gloom. And the anxiety and the fear and the depression and bondage. I mean, what? You know what I'm saying? I know a lot of lost people that are a lot more fun and pleasant to be with than Christians. Christians should be manifesting because of resurrection, because of the new creation that's happening in you. Like I said yesterday, it's like leaven. It's like a holy yeast. It is just working in you and working its way out through you. It's the power of resurrection. We should be living in and manifesting, I don't care what your personality type is, a glorious freedom that is attractive to all creation. They all want to jump into that. They all want to belong to that. That's the resurrection. The yeast of new creation. The leaven of new creation. And you and I are it. Wherever you show up, hopefully, wherever we, if you're in the store or whatever, you're this glory, you're this manifesting beam of new creation leaven that says, jump in, that changes the atmosphere. That's what yeast changes everything. Libby was reminding me, you put yeast in a lump of dough, it affects every little molecule of that dough. That's what we should do. In every room you go into, you should yeast that entire thing with new creation. Glorious freedom. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.